Praise the Lord. Well, let's see here. Where do we want to start? Acts chapter 20. The Lord is good. Praise the Lord. We were talking before service. Anthony had said he wrote me a new song about how I'm always early. Well, I was raised that 15 minutes early is late. So we were always, you know, on time. And I was just sitting down there thinking about it and coming to, you know, going to church all those years and I always had to be at church early. And a lot of times I was the worship leader, and so I had to be there. Most of the times I was the one opening up the building, closing down the building, you know, doing all that. Amen. And kids were there, little children, 4 years apart, and they were always there looking sharp. And I got to thinking, you know, the only way that happens is if you marry Superwoman, and I did. Right there she is, right there. Amen. She gets all the credit for that. I get credit for marrying someone 5 years older than me. That's a lie. Everybody always thinks, like, oh, no, I'm 5 years older than her. I should get more credit. Some of you will get that later. All right, Acts chapter 20. Hallelujah. You know, thinking about this day that we live in, I don't know if you found out or not, but Brother Hagin said it this way. He said, life's not, the blessings aren't just going to come at you like ripe cherries falling off of a tree. Amen. This world system is designed to kill you. It's designed for your failure. It wants you to fail. It's set up to make you fail. If you fall along with it, that's the way it's going to lead you. But Jesus didn't come that we might live on this earth and fail. Amen. In fact, we're no longer even citizens of this earth. We're here. We're in the earth, but we're not of it any longer. We're citizens of heaven. We are ambassadors for God and for Christ here on this earth. And all of our needs are met not according to the earth, but according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's just not limited to financial blessing. That's every need. My physical needs are met according to His riches and glory. I have a right to the health of heaven. Amen. I don't have the resurrected body yet, but I'm going to get one someday. Right? So this body's going to age. It's going to get older. You're not going to stop that. But then again, you don't have to be weak. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be sick. You know, I don't hear it so much anymore. We've had, you know, years and years and years of teaching now. But I think sometimes in our teaching, now that we're so saturated with teaching, we forget some of the basic things. I just want to talk about something very basic tonight. But you used to hear people, if I don't get sick, how am I ever going to die? Well, just lay down and fall asleep, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, some people have got to be concerned about a lot of things. That's not something I'm not concerned about at all. Amen. How am I going to die? I'm living, amen? Amen? Living this life. But, you know, just because something potentially is ours and actually legally can be ours doesn't mean that we're going to have it in our life unless we do certain things. And I want to read this verse, and then we'll go to Romans chapter 1. Acts 20, verse 32. And I've got a King James Bible in front of me, and of course, you know, sometimes I take the these and thous out if you know me at all. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able." Now, if you're taking notes, you're underline that word able. It's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, how many of you thank God for His word? Here He calls it the word of His grace. But I want you to notice it says, it is able to build you up. What's that speaking of? Potential. The potential is there for you to be built up and for you and I to have the inheritance that belongs to us. All right? We could say it this way, in the way the world operates as far as, you know, in natural things. a will has been written. And potentially what's left for you belongs to you, but if you don't ever come and claim it, you're not going to have it. It's able. It's potentially yours. The inheritance potentially belongs to you. Legally it belongs to you. But unless you do certain things, you're not going to have it. Right? And so look in Romans chapter 1 here for just a moment. I think we all fall into this trap that we know scriptures. We've heard them. Some of you, obviously, we got folks in here from all different places of spiritual growth and maturity. That's what's so great about a church. That's why you need to be part of a church. Amen? You know, us that have been in the way, and some folks are in the way, right? But those of us that have been in the way for over 40 years now, we need the zeal of those that just got in. And how many of you know they need the wisdom to go along with the zeal? We need one another. Glory to God. Romans 1 in verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, what is the gospel, or the word of his grace, is the power of God unto salvation. Now stop, let's remind ourselves. The word salvation there means more than just being born again. Thank God for the new birth. But it also means everything that Jesus accomplished, or you could say it this way, everything that God accomplished, the Father accomplished, through the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and seating at the right hand of the Lord Jesus. All of that, he says there, is found in the gospel. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, did Jesus finish the work? Right? He doesn't have to go back to the cross, does he? There's no more sacrifice to be made, no more blood to be shed. So the work has been finished. But if you don't believe, it will never affect you at all. All right? And never have any impart into your life. But verse 17, for therein, in that gospel, in that word of his grace, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that right place with God, being in right standing with God, no longer separated from him, in union with him, part of his family, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I want you to notice here, it says live by faith. It doesn't say shall have faith events. Did you see the difference? Living by faith. It is the daily application of the word of his grace that causes us to partake of the inheritance. Now, thank God that God does things and bails us out of situations where we've gotten ourselves into situations or something, or just life happens. You know, you can be doing everything right and the devil attack you. You know, obviously we've got a whole new group of students, you know, some of the returners, but then folks are here for the first time. It's always every year, you know, we'll have people come in and I just don't understand it. I'm obeying God and I got here and this isn't working and that's not working and that. I said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. I must have missed it. No, you didn't miss it. You just got on the radar. The devil stop you now? If he can stop you now, see, he'll keep you from impacting lives all over the world. Because that's what you're here for. Amen? So, living by faith. Well, go over to Matthew chapter 28. One of the areas that we have that the word of grace tells us about is authority. Everybody say authority. But authority that is left dormant or not acted upon is actually forfeited. If you don't act upon your authority, it does you absolutely no good. It's as if you didn't have it. And we need to be acting how? Living by that. Every day. Every day. Every day. Not just, you know, not just when I have a symptom, do I start talking about healing and taking authority over sickness and disease? No, I'm doing that every day. Amen. Every day the life of God is working in me. Every day I'm saying that no sickness, no disease. Why? In the name of Jesus. We sang about that name tonight. That's one of the keys. But using that every day. Not just, you know, and not becoming just so familiar with the name of Jesus that it becomes the sign-off on our prayer. How many of you used to talk on CB radios? Anything like that? You know, in the name of Jesus is not 10-4 good buddy. All right? The name of Jesus, when I use the name of Jesus, I'm doing kingdom business.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I'm releasing the full authority and power of heaven on that situation. But daily, I'm not waiting around until, you know, oh, if I stay quiet, maybe if I just be nice, nothing bad, the devil, you know, no. Amen. I think one of the things the devil strives to get people to do, especially Christians, is to become passive.
Yeah.
Get you passive. You know, where you're not on the attack. Listen, Christianity is not Doris Day living. Que sera, sera. God bless Doris, but not Christianity is not whatever will be. Christianity is taking the Word of God. Yes, thank you, Lord. Can you hold your finger in Matthew? Go to Hebrews 11 real quickly. Praise the Lord. Christianity is taking the Word of God and fashioning the world that we are to live in. Amen. Now, you know, some things about authority. We have authority in our own lives. I don't have authority over your life. Now, if you come to me and say, would you pray with me? Would you do? Then you've given me the right to use my faith and authority on your behalf. But I just can't. You understand that? Now, we always, always, always have authority over anything Satan's doing. Right? You know, in one of our classes, I give a reading assignment in Brother Hagin's book, The Triumphant Church, especially chapters 4 and 5. He talks about how to deal with people who are coming against you, trying to keep you from doing what God's called you to do, trying to keep that. And he says, you never deal with them. You always deal with the spirit that's behind them. Because you have authority over that.
That's right.
Amen? We have the authority, absolute authority over them. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made by things which do appear. Through faith, we understand. How did God frame the world? How did God frame the world? Through faith. Right? Well, what did God do? How did God do that? He said, right? He used his words. God said, let there be light, and there was light. But here, not only does it mean this, and I'm pulling up another translation here, but it also means the worlds, the time, the age. It doesn't necessarily mean the planet. It means this time and the age is framed by the Word of God. Well, you know, you and I have been created in the image of God. We are the only created being that has the right or the ability to frame our world by speaking words. Now, how many of you know the devil tried that, but he got kicked out of heaven for doing it? He had the ability, but not the right. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will put my throne above the stars of God. I will do all these things, you know. Well, his pride, that was pride, got him kicked out. The English Standard Bible says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. I like this in, where's the New Living here? There you go. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. One last, the Passion says, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. You know, we have the same ability to speak words of faith, to call things that be not as though they were, in the name of Jesus, in the authority of that name, and for the invisible realm, that spirit realm, to give birth to them so that we can see them. Amen. But you have to live this way. Live by faith. Live by your convictions. Live that way. Now, Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to his disciples and said, all power or authority. It's the word, it's the original word for authority. Many new translations actually say the word authority there. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, or you go, and teach all nations. You go therefore. In other words, based on that, because I've been given authority, I'm now sending you forth in that authority to teach all nations, or to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now, you know, I was reading this here recently, and you know, sometimes you read, and some things that will kind of stand out. That last statement Jesus made kind of jumped off the page at me. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Well, and we know in Hebrews, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If God be for me, who can be against me? We've got the answer with us all the time. If he's got all authority, and he's given us the right to go use that authority, given us the power of attorney to use his name in kingdom business and in our own life, are we doing it on a daily basis? Now, thank God. How many of you could raise both hands, both feet, now be careful. If you start jumping, you get yourself in trouble. But how many times has God bailed you out, you know, when you, and did what seems like, right, a miracle, right? Woo! Thank God. Thank God. But I'm telling you, Jesus didn't live life that way on the earth. Now, he went around doing good things and healing all oppressed, but he didn't go through life, you know, without, you know, and just having to have a miracle to do this or having to have a miracle to do that. He did miracles. He was the source and did them for others, but he himself didn't live that way. He's our example. Now, let's look what he did. Over here in, go back to Matthew chapter 10. It's interesting to study how Jesus talks about his relationship to the Father God. He said, you know, the Father and I are one. He said, if you believe me, he said, if you believe me, you have to believe the one who sent me. He knew he was sent by God. He knew his relationship with God. All right? And he said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, then believe me for the work's sake, because these works prove what I'm saying. It's interesting as he talked about that, and he operated in ministry. Now think about this. Matthew 28 was after the resurrection, right? Yeah. After the resurrection. Here is before he ever went to the cross. But I want you to see, he's still operating in authority. That got me thinking, well, where did this authority come from? How did he have authority? Because he's about ready to delegate authority here, but he hadn't been to the cross yet. He hadn't taken the keys of death, hell, and the grave yet. It's like there in Matthew chapter 8, where he healed Peter's mother-in-law and others, and it said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, himself took our infirmities and bore our pains. Wait a minute, I thought that was at the cross. But Jesus acted like it was an already done thing. Amen. I don't know if you could say he healed on credit. I don't know. Because he hadn't paid. But as far as God was concerned, from the foundation of the world, it was a done deal. Right? Before the foundation of the world, this decision was made. And it was done as far as God was concerned. But there's an aspect of this that Jesus, a partial answer to this, not the full answer, but the partial we'll see here in just a second. Of how he had this authority. Now let's look at this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He gave them. So evidently, how many of you know you can't give what you don't have? He gave them authority against all unclean spirits, or all demons, all devils, to cast them out, and links us back to the authority, and he gave them authority to do what? Heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, in saying that, we're not saying that the disciples healed anybody, but the verbiage here is such. But we have to, what did Jesus say? He said, the Father in me, he does the work. Jesus never claimed to heal anybody. He said, it's the Father in me. So if anyone gets healed through these disciples or gets healed through us laying hands on them, what do we know? The Father in us has done the work. Right? But he gave them that authority. Now drop down here to verse 5 after the next three verses list who it was. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth. Sent forth. Sent forth. Let me say it a different way. These 12 Jesus commissioned. These 12 Jesus gave the power of attorney to act on his behalf. Now, if I'm acting on the behalf of Jesus, I'm acting on the behalf of the Father. Because Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I do always those things that please my Father, he said. He had a relationship with the Father. And he's doing this. So he sent them forth. He said, commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles into the city of the Samaritans, enter not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give.
Amen.
Now here's something. When, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, God created man and gave man what? Dominion over the earth, correct? Right? Now what, in chapter 3, man disobeyed God. And it's obvious from what Satan said to Jesus during the temptation, especially in Luke 4 and Matthew 4. He said, if you just bow down, I'll give you all this, all the kingdoms. I'll give it all to you. Well, he had it to give because Adam had handed it over to him. God gave man that dominion, and God and man handed it over to Satan. Except this. Listen to me. The kingdom of heaven was never under the authority of man, nor was it ever under the authority of the devil then. And Jesus operated in kingdom authority. And now he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we have been made a kingdom of priests, kings unto our God. In the realm of your life, you are king under King Jesus. All right? Now, ladies, if you have to be queen, whatever. We were just talking about that place of authority. The devil has never had authority over the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus said, when you come, tell him the kingdom of heaven has come. Now, how much more in our day that Jesus has defeated death, hell, and the grave, and Jesus stands supreme, Satan is defeated, how much more in our day should we be bringing the kingdom of heaven to people in this earth? Amen. But he told them what? I mean, he acted like it was a simple thing. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you've received, freely give. Well, now, brother, he just told that to his disciples. All right, go back to Matthew 28. Let's pull out something else that we read over all the time in that verse. Matthew chapter 28. You doing all right? Now, we're talking about living this way, living by faith, living in the potential of what we have. There's a story, a true story that's told about a little boy who was way behind his classmates in math, way behind his classmates in math. And he just was not getting it. And a computer company at that time, this was the start of these things, put together a program, was wanting to test it out, and they felt that this young man would be a good candidate to test this new program out. In just a few short months, like 2 months, he made up 3 and 4 years worth of math. See, all along, he had the potential to do it. But no one knew how to necessarily tap into that potential. But they asked him about it, said, why do you think this happened? He goes, well, I don't know, but he said, when I turned on the computer, he said, they had it programmed to call his, it calls my name. He said, when I go to school, they call me stupid. Now, how many of you know the devil wants to tell you how stupid you are and how you're not this and how you're not that? And if you could only be as handsome as Pastor Tad, how much better off your life would be. Don't write that down. That was not. That was opinion only. But you understand what I'm saying? The potential was there. And I'm telling you, you've got the potential to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. First of all, in your own life. Second of all, in the lives of others. All right. Now, here he says something. Well, and people say, well, that was just for the early disciples. And I realize that was the 12. Here's the 11 he's talking to. But what does he tell these eyewitnesses? I like to call these the eyewitnesses. What does he tell these eyewitnesses to do? Verse 19, go therefore, teach all nations, or make disciples, other translations say, or Christians of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Was that Jesus back there in Matthew 10 commanding them as they go to preach the gospel? And say, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand? So, if he told them to do it and they're supposed to teach us to observe what he told them, then we can do what they did. Now, that doesn't mean you're not one of the eyewitness apostles. But you're just as much a child of God as they are. Amen. Right? Do you ever notice Mark 16? Go to Mark 16 there. Amen. But we're talking about living by faith. Living this way. Having this in our consciousness all the time. Now most of us here, we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. We believe, like the Bible said, you know, that what Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive power, right? Power of the Holy, and you shall be witnesses. He didn't say you will do witnessing. He says you'll be a witness. Okay? Well, that power, yes, it helps me, but that power, that's that river of living water flowing out. Flowing out. That well of water springing up meets all my needs. That river flowing out meets the needs of other people. That's my cup running over. Amen. Running over. Running over for others. Now here in Mark chapter 16, after Jesus, here again, he appears to his disciples. And verse 15 said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. So notice the potential is there for salvation. Well, let's think of it this way. Preaching the gospel is all that Jesus did. He that believed is baptized shall be healed, shall be delivered, shall be set free, shall be born again. All those things are in there. But he that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe and are apostles. Is that what it says? No, it didn't add. There's nothing in there about being an apostle, is there? Or a pastor, or a prophet, evangelist, teacher. Nothing in there about that. It's a being a believer. How many believers we got in here tonight?
Yeah.
All right. You, in the name of Jesus, can cast out devils. Right. Speak with new tongues. Take up. Now, he's not talking about being a snake, poisonous snake handler here. He's talking about dealing with things. And of course, we know that one time the serpents, the snakes did bite Paul. He just shook them off. You shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who's the first they? The believer. You.
That's right.
Lay hands on the sick, and who? They, the sick, shall recover. How? In that name. Or in the authority that God has given us through that name. Now you've heard people say that name will do what Jesus would do if he was here. That name will do for the person in need what Jesus would do if he was here. That name, glory to God. The name of Jesus. Well, let's look over in Luke chapter 10 for just a moment. Now, these aren't new things we're talking about. But I found this out for me. I'll just say this for me. I won't speak for you. But a lot of times when I'm going back to God, he keeps taking me back to the basics. Because if you let the basics slip, then you have no need for the new. Right? That foundation has to continually be enforced and reinforced. Amen. Peter says, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. And so that's how God deals with me. And so it's not necessarily the new things. And I know we all like to hear something new and see something we've never seen before. And you might in this, but these are things that we ought to know here and continue to learn about. I'm continually learning more and more about how to minister this life to other people. Once I found this out, that my needs are met by that well of water springing up into everlasting life, that's taking care of me, all right? He put that in us, that well of living waters in us, springing up into everlasting life. It's there. There's a constant flow of life in me. You see, that's why Pastor Craig kept saying and had been saying and says it every day, COVID can't live in my body. Why? Where the life is, death can't reign. Death can't say, well, the life is in me. The life of God is in me. Brother Hagin would say it this way, the healing power of God is working in me mightily, affecting the healing and the cure. How many of you ever heard him or read where he said, keep the switch of faith turned on? That's what he's talking about. Daily, daily, daily. How many of you, at least there's one light switch you turn on every day? Right? But you got to turn it on, right? You got to turn. Well, keep the switch of faith turned on. How do you do that? With your words. Keep speaking it. Now here in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is going to send 70 others out. Look at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70, other 70 also, and sent them two by two into every city and place where he himself would go. And he said, I'm going to send you forth as laborers into the harvest. Look down here in verse 8. He said, whatever city you enter, if they receive you, eat such things as set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto it, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. The kingdom of God has absolute authority. Never has lost authority.
That's right.
Now, the devil thought he was going to get that, but he didn't get that. It was a mystery hidden in God. But the kingdom of God, well, praise the Lord. Now look at verse 17. So they go out and they come back. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what you want to do, but I underlined the word you in there, and I wrote my name by it. Behold, I give unto Tad authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt Tad. Well, you got to make it personal for you. Amen. See, this works for everybody. It's not just, this doesn't work for me. It works for everybody. I've had people tell me, well, not everybody can believe the word like you. Well, if everybody can't believe the word like me, then we got problems. Because I think you can probably believe the word better than me. But if this word's not for everybody, that's why, you know, I've been blessed to be able to travel a lot of different places, a lot of different countries in the world. And I found this out, and the Lord really, you know, in praying about what to preach and that, it always kind of deals with me, stay with the simple things, stay with the basics, because most people don't know the basics. But then this key thing is this, that if what you're preaching will not work here, it's not the Bible. If it's the Word of God, it will work anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter what political system's in place, what economic system's in place. None of that matters. It doesn't matter what the social structure is of the person you're talking to. If it's the Bible, it will work for them. Found out very early on, sowing and reaping works everywhere in the world. But you have to let the sower decide what the seed is. That's between them and God. I've seen all kinds of things put in. In fact, I was just in Kenya again this summer, and I got a picture of the fellow again. 1996, 25 years ago, we were in Kenya teaching on sowing and reaping, and they received an offering there at that church. It was for them. It wasn't for us or anything. And a man came up there, and I kind of noticed, you know, he was barefoot as he came, but he walked up there with a pair of shoes, brown leather shoes, and they were beat up, okay? But now you realize this is, and we're talking about when you to honor God is to bring your best. This is the best. When you grow up and you don't have shoes, to have a pair of shoes, that's a blessing. To him, that was, you know. And so he brought those shoes and placed them in that little that basket that they had there and walked away without any shoes on. And that he wasn't sad about it. In fact, he had a big old smile on his face. All right. Now, these shoes were unwearable except for him. I mean, you wouldn't take them and give them to anybody else. I mean, they couldn't do anything else with them. There was no way to repair them, but he left them there. I was back there that next year. That was first part of December of 96. In late September, early October, was there again in 97. And I saw that guy three days in a row, and he had a new pair of shoes on every day I saw him. Amen. And I asked, I said, what happened? What happened? And they said, well, that day, somebody was coming from, and this was a long walk. You understand, it's not like hopping in, it's a long drive because of all the potholes, but that's a long walk. So that day, he didn't know anything about it. That day, another person who was a Christian, as he was, it was on their heart to get him a new pair. They carried him a new pair of shoes, walked all day long to get to him, brought him a new pair of shoes. Within a week, he got hired. See, he brought God his best. Within a week, he got hired as a foreman of a sugarcane cutting crew. And they said, for the past year, he's made sure every one of his crewmen has a pair of shoes on. If they don't have them, he goes and gets them for them. All right? Now, I saw him this summer. It's 25, and I've called him up. Some folks have been on trips with me where I was able to call him up and had him and said, now, brother, if I'm lying, you tell us all I'm lying. All right? And so he'll stand there and he'll just smile and say, he'll shake his head, you know. But I saw him again. I got my picture taken with him again. I saw him. Well, how many days were we there, George and Muharoni? 5 days? Ten altogether. But we were in that one place in five. I saw him 5 days in a row. The man had a different pair of shoes on all 5 days. Amen. I said, still living in the blessings, huh? He just smiled. Amen. See, sowing and reaping, that's a work anywhere in the world. I've seen bananas, all kinds of stuff come. Glory to God. But this authority, this will work. The kingdom of heaven works everywhere. I want to encourage you, don't just wait to have a victory. Live this way every day. Every day, live by faith. Every day, exercise your authority in your own life over the devil. And as you have opportunity, help other people. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your precious holy word. Father, we give you glory and we give you honor. Thank you, Father God, for all that you have given us and restored to us through Jesus Christ. And help us to walk in our authority. We thank you, Father God, that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And all authority has been given unto Jesus and he's delegated it to us. So thank you, Father, for victory in every circumstance in our personal lives. And help us, Father God, to know by your Spirit how to help others to walk in that victory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, our prayer team's coming right now. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, they will pray with you according to the Word of God. They will pray with you according to the Word of God because that's where victory comes from, right? It's able to give you the inheritance. Gentlemen, come over to these gentlemen over here. Ladies, come over to the ladies and pray with them. And we know that if you have a need of anything, if you need to get born again, you don't know Jesus Christ, want to rededicate your life, just need prayer for anything, come see them. Praise the Lord. Ushers, we've already ministered to our first-time guests, right? Okay, let's all stand together. Now, remember, tomorrow is a holiday, so we won't be in the office, but as Pastor Bill said there, you can call. And I've delegated the hangnail anointing to Zach, so if you need that. No, but like Pastor Bill's serious about that. If you do have a need, don't hesitate to call that number, and they'll get a hold of us and we'll minister to you as we're able to, as we, the best way we can, okay? So don't hesitate with that. But other than that, we'll see you Wednesday night, Hour of Power, all right? Students, we'll see you Tuesday morning right in here. All right, glory to God. All right, God bless you.